Okay, first of all, we'd like to thank Danielle and Shoshana Cohn. Danielle is still part of Daf Yomi. He does it on his own time, and today they sponsored the Daf Yomi in memory of Manny Middleman, whose yard site I believe is today. So thank you to Danielle and Shoshana for the sponsorship and hopefully our learning, and anyone who listens to this recording. The learning will be Le'ilo Nishmaso. Obviously, everybody knows Manny Middleman except for me. We all have fond memories. I've heard many great stories and wish I could have met him. And we are honored to learn on his behalf today. So, let's get into it. Psachim Daf Tzadi Dalet. Now that Aaron's here. Tana Rabbanan. Omed Chutz L'Modim. If somebody's standing outside of Modi'im, v'yachlo kanes besusim u'befradim. A person is standing outside of Modi'im. This is sort of like the modern-day car question. What would happen if Pesach happens today, and you have cars, and you have planes, and you have ways to get to Yerushalayim, even though at Chatzos, you are more than 15 mil away, which is what we said yesterday was the definition of derech rechoka, which would make you putter from bringing Karm Pesach. So the question is, if you've got a horse, you've got a real fast horse, right? You've got Seabiscuit, who can get to American Pharoah, can get to Yerushalayim faster than any other horse. And now you, I guess American Pharoah is probably a better possibility, but you've got a fast horse. And the question is, you don't really need to be 15 mil away. So maybe for you, 15 mil is like nothing. Maybe for you, you should be able to get there, even by Chatzos, being 50 mil away is good enough for you. So Yachi Yachayv, so maybe you would think because you can go farther, further distances, you'd be Chayv, just like somebody who's on foot 50 mil away. So Tamil Omer, no. Uvederach lo haya, it's a literal defined distance, and therefore, Vahala haya vederach. He was bederach, meaning further away. Doesn't matter if he can get there quicker. So haya omei lifnim minamodim. Let's say somebody is closer than 15. So you have their camels and carriages that are carrying his stuff. When I first saw this, I thought this meant like there was some kind of caravan passing through, kind of like those never-ending trains, and you just wait for them. But that's not what it means. It means that he's himself got a big caravan and sort of slowing him down. So, and he can't go 15 mil like a regular person could in just half a day, like we said yesterday. So maybe you would say that Yachol lo yechayv. Maybe he's not chayv because 15 mil for him is much longer than 15 mil because of how slow he has to go. Tam lomar uvederach lohaya v'hare lohaya b'derach. He's not far away. He's within that 15 mil, so he's got to figure out a way to get to Yerushalayim, maybe leave some people behind, somehow somebody's got to get there quicker. So Amar Rava, here we go. Shita alfe parse have alma. How big is the world? So this is the statement of Rava that basically the next half of Daf is going to come to object to, and it's going to object to it in crazy ways. But for the time being, let's just read Rava. So we said before that a person can walk 5 mil between dawn and sunrise. And now Rav is saying that the size of the world is 6,000 parsaos. Yesterday we said that one parsa is 40 mil. So the entire equator, I assume this is what it means, if you would take a string and you put around the entire globe, at least that's how I would understand it, it's possible based on later in the Gemara that this is talking about if you take one and it's not really a... Let's just say it's a distance and not a circumference. Either way, we'll get to that soon. That 4,000 parsaos, sorry, that 6,000 parsaos, so 6,000 times 40 would be, 240,000 mil. So basically, 240,000 kilometers. I don't know what the actual number is. But, and then he says, V'sumcha derakia alpa parsi, and the thickness of the horizon or the firmament, whatever that is, that's itself 1,000 parsos. Okay, v'chada gemara v'chada svara. One of them is learned out from Moshe Mi Sinai, and the other one is just a logic. We don't. I assume that the one is in order, so that the world's being 240,000 kilometers is from Moshe Rabbeinu, and the sky is just based on logic, which we'll say in a second. Let me just look up for a second how large is the world's circumference in kilometers. This says 24,000 miles, which would be 40,000 kilometers. All right, interesting. Based on continuation of the Gemara, that's not really going to be accurate at all. Okay. Savar lo ki hada amar Rabba bar Chana amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kama mahalach adam benoni bayom. We said yesterday, how much can a person walk regularly in one day? Eser parsos, 10 parsa. Me'alos hashach ravayin etzachama chamishim meilon. Right, you get five that morning stage. Mishkiyas hachama atzeis hachama also chamish shemilin. Right, at the end night stage is also five. Nimsa av yosha rakia echer mishish biyom, meaning that the time that it takes for the sun to go from the beginning of the rakia to the top of the rakia is 1/6 of the rest of the day. Right, because we said the whole day is 40. A person could walk 40. And then five of that is the distance of the sun, right? The sun is moving up and down, or down and up, and then down, up and down, whatever. So
doesn't it also depend what time of year it is?
Okay, yeah. So the Gemara is going to get a little more complicated than what it's saying now, but that's the question we could have said yesterday. So when we look at these Gemaras, let's assume it's the perfect day, right? The perfect halachic day, meaning everything's 6 hours. So in that sense, whatever it is, the time it takes for the sun to go from the cusp hitting the horizon and upwards, actually, a lot of this requires like in-depth diagrams, and I remember drawing them in my Gemara when I learned it 10 years ago. So let's just take the word, you know, the Gemara for at face value, because it's, you know, we're not going to be able to really get anywhere if we don't, for a bunch of reasons. Let me just see if I have some diagrams here that I drew. Yeah, here. These are my 15-year-old diagrams of what exactly these things mean. So, not really for now, but a lot of interesting stuff coming up, so let's just get through it. Either way, so the Gemara continues. So according to the fact that the movement of the sun is 1/5 of the rest of the day, which is 30, because 5, 5, and 30 in the middle, so then that sounds like the thickness of the rakia, of the firmament, which the sun is trying to get out of, is 1/6 of the day. And therefore, it would seem that if the whole world circumference is 6,000, or the whole world distance is 6,000, it's a strange thing, but assuming that the sun goes through the whole world, and that's the day that we see, so then it would be 1/6. Again, that logic doesn't really make sense based on what we know, but that's how they're saying it, I believe. So, Meisvei Rabbi Yehuda Omer Oviav Shalirakia Echem Yasar Biyom. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's 1/10. Teda Kama Mahalik Adam Beinu Biyom Eser Parsos. He thinks that a person can only walk 10 parsa a day. Umelos Hashachar Netzachama Arba Milin. That's the same. Everyone agrees with that. Esther Parsos. It's not five, it's four. And then the same thing on the back end. And therefore, it's 4 out of 10. Meaning that he's taking the time of the sun and averaging it over the whole day, as opposed to Rava, who was averaging it over the middle of the day, which is an interesting difference, but not for now either. So the Gemara says, Tiyufta de Rava, Tiyufta de Ula. It's a refutation of both Rava, who said the length of the world, and it's also a refutation of Ula, who explained that it's 5, not 4, from dawn to sunrise. So it says Tiyufta. So Gemara says Lema Tiyavi Tiyufta Rabbi Yochanan. Let's say it's also a refutation of Rabbi Yochanan. Amar La was Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan has just said that. What is Ula? Yeah, right. Ula had said a person could walk 15 mil in half a day. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that a person could walk 16 mil in half a day. And Rabbi Yochanan is the one that said the five versus the five from sunrise, from dawn to sunrise. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is saying it's four. So Amalach, no, Anabi Yimamba Huda Amri. I was talking about the day. V'Rabbanan Hu Dekatau Dekachashvin Dekadme V'Chashocha. Rabbi Yochanan also was similarly talking about different parts of the day, but the rabbis were the one that made the mistake in saying that a person can only walk 5 mil from dawn to sunrise because they calculated the sunrise too early. I don't know, they thought the sun came out earlier than it did, something like that, and therefore a person can walk 5. So Gemara says, well, then limits Yavitiyuf to Rabbi Chanina. Let's say that this is a reputation of Rabbi Chanina, who had brought a proof to the fact that Lot had to leave from Sodom to Tzoar and took him 5 mil. So maybe he, when he said, I saw this distance and it was about 5 mil, so then maybe he was wrong. So Gemara says, no, Vaya Itzu Shani. When the angels brought him out, so they rushed him out of the house, meaning they were going quickly to Tzoar, and therefore they were able to cover an extra mil in the time that a normal person would take, would only go for four mil. So that's why it was 5 to that distance, according to Rabbi Yehuda's calculations. Tashema. Okay. Mitzrayim haya arba meos parsa al arba meos parsa. Egypt was 400 parsa by 400 parsa. What is 400 parsa? Presumably that's 40 mil. So let's say, you know, that's 40 by 40 is 1,600 square kilometers. Maybe. So then 40 times that would be 480,000 square kilometers. Is that how big Egypt is? I don't know. Umitzrayim echad mishishim bekush. I don't know what exactly Kush is referring to here.
This Kush is basically in ancient times, but generally the rest of Africa outside of Egypt.
I figured it was like a continent or something. So this is talking about the rest of the continent. So Mitzrayim here is 1/60 of Kush, and Vekush Echer Mishishim Ba'olam, and Kush is 1/60 of the rest of the world. Ve'olam Echer Mishishim Ba'gan, and the world is 1/60 of Gan, right? Like if Gan Ba'eden, like we know in Voracious. Ve'gan Echer Mishishim Ba'eden. And that Gan, that garden, is 1/60 of the whole of Eden. The Eden echad mishishim Gehenim, and Eden itself is 1/60 of Gehenim. Nimsa kol olam kulam kikisoy keder leGehenim. Basically, it means that the whole world is just sitting above Gehenim, right? Because it's all just sort of enveloped into Gehenim. Gehenim is the biggest thing. And based on this, it appears that Rav is incorrect, because he said, Rava had said that the world was 6,000, was it 6,000 parsa? I think that's what Rava had said. In which case the world is actually much bigger than that. Based on these calculations of how big about how big each one of these things is. So that's also another reputation of Rebbe. So Tashma, let's do it again. That the entire world is able to fit underneath one star. It's interesting to use the word Yishuv and not Olam, fine. Teda Shehare Adam Nosin Enav Bechochav Echad Holech Mizrach Omei Kenegdo. That when a person is, looks up at the beginning of the day, he's underneath one star, he can walk the entire day, he'll still see that star. Holech lemizrach omen kenegdo, la'arba ruchos ha'olam omen kenegdo. He's always seeing that star in the same spot. And therefore, mechla dechol ha'yishuv kula tachas kochav echad yoshev. Interesting, I'm not really sure how scientific the statement is, but it's saying that you always see that star in the same place, therefore it must be that the place does not, that the earth does not really move, at least in proportion to that star. It's always, you're never going to be able to walk outside of that spot. And therefore, you could always sort of stay underneath that star. Hold on. And this is saying, at least Rashi says, V'kama kochav yesh barakia, lo ein mispar. And there are so many other stars. V'kama kochav echar, machzik is called yishav ro'an, an yishay yishay yosem yal parza. Harei kama kochav yesh barakia, yishav echar, lo kol kochav yamim, uvin haros, uvin baros, v'ilu in barakia, ala shisha kochavim, harei kan shishas, sheshes alafim. Okay, not exactly sure how this logic plays out, but Rashi says that there are other places in the world, and there are tons of stars in the world, and therefore there must be that the world is much bigger. I don't know what that means, but I think it has to come back to that word yishuv, that everybody's living underneath one star, and therefore we know that there are tons of other things in the world that are not that community or not that place of living, of settlement. So it implies, according to Rashi at least, that the world is much bigger than 6,000 parsos. Okay. Tashima, Agala Batzafon Va'akrav Badarom. This is talking about constellations. At least according to Sepharia, this is referring to the constellation of Ursa Major. I can't tell you what that is, but I'm sure it's a real thing, based on the fact that Sepharia is bringing it up. Agala Batzafon, Ursa Major is in the north. Va'akrav Badarom, and Scorpio is in the south. V'kol Yishuv Kula Enu Yoshev Ela Bein Agala Akrav. And all of the world's population, I assume, is positioned in between these two. Okay, v'chol yishuv kula enu ahova ela sha achas b'yom, and all of the world is only 1 hour in a day. Meaning, I think in reference to the sun, she'en chamin nechnasal yishuv ela sha achas b'yom. Right, think about if the sun is passing over all of our heads. Right, let's say this light is the sun. Right, so at one point it comes over our head, and then like it passes over. So the only time the sun is right above us is for 1 hour. Basically, you know, Teda, the Gemara says, Teda shebachamish kama mizrach. When you look at the sun at 5 o'clock, or the fifth hour of the day, let's say 11:30 or whatever, so 11 o'clock, so then you see it in the east, it's still in the east. Uvesheva chamam larav, and already by 7, the seventh hour, you can see that the sun's already in the west. And therefore, between 6.5 and 7.5, it looks like the sun is right above us. So that's also to you, if you do the measurements and you do the calculations, that's also going to imply that the world is much bigger than just 6,000 parsel, like Rava said. We're really going to town on Rava. Tashema to Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Matshuva Heshivatu, Baskolos Rasha, Bishash Amar Ela Abamasi of Adame. Well, Yon, when Hashem spoke to Nebuchadnezzar, so what did he say to him when Nebuchadnezzar said, "I will go up into the clouds"? So Yatzabaskov Amrlo, Rasha ben Rasha, you wicked man, ben Benoshal Nimrod Harasha, who is a descendant of Nimrod, the wicked man. So Shehimrit is Kol Olam Kulo Lavim Achuso, who was working against me to usurp my kingdom. So Kama Shnosav Shaladim, how long is a person alive? 70 Shana, 70 years on average. Okay, not really sure what that's based on, but the Imbigvurl Shmonim Shana, right? The pasuk says it, but the Shenamar Yimeshno Seinu Bam Shivim Shana Vimigvur Shmanim Shana. So the pasuk says in Tehillim, right, that 70 years, 80 years, for those who are stronger. Min Haaretz Alarkia Mahalei Chamish Meil Shana, from the land until the firmament is 500 years worth of walking. Ve'ovav Shal Rakia Mahalei Chamish Meil Shana, and the thickness of the Rakia itself is 500 years walking. Ubein Rakia Larakia Mahalei Chada. Excuse me. Ubein Rakia Larakia Mahalei Chamish Meil Shana. So in between every firmament, however many there are, there are another 500 years of walking. V'chein bein kol rakia v'rakia. I guess in between the firmaments as opposed to the firmaments themselves. Every firmament is 500, and then in between every firmament is another 500. So, v'chein bein kol rakia v'rakia. Ach el sha'ol turad el yarkas ebor. So that's why the pasuk continues in Yeshayahu. It says, you shall be brought down to the netherworld, to the uttermost part of the pit.
So basically it says you can't possibly get to a cloud.
I mean, we go to clouds all the time with planes, so I don't know. But either way, the Rava's opinion is also refuted based on this because of how big the firmament was. Because he thought the firmament was only 1,000 parsos, and here it's saying it's 500 upon 500 upon 500. So it's much more. Tanu Rabbanan, Chachmei Yisrael Omrim. The rabbis explain, this is very interesting, Gemara. This is really an explicit comparison between the Jewish sages and the non-Jewish sages when it comes to constellations and astrology, or astronomy. Tanu Rabbanan, Chachmei Yisrael Omrim, Gal Gal Kavua Umazalos Chozrin. The celestial sphere of the zodiac is stationary, and the constellations revolve in their place within the sphere. Okay, meaning that I assume that what that means is that the stars move, even though the world doesn't. Right, the world is stationary and the stars move. I assume that's what it means. V'chach me'umos ha'olam omrim gal gal chozer. The non-Jewish scholars believe that the world, or I guess it says the celestial sphere, moves umazos kavuin, and the constellations are more set in place. So Amar Rebbe, Chuvala Devrayim Rebbe says, I have a response to theirs. Me'olam lo matzino agala badaram v'akara b'tzafon. We never see that the constellations actually move. This is an interesting claim, but that's because it's during the daytime. You can't see the constellations during the daytime. So I don't exactly know what that means. Is it really true that if you look at the stars during light, you never see them move? I assume they would look like they're moving, no?
I think he's talking about over the course of the year they don't move. In other words, the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper are always in the north. The North Star is Polaris is always in the north. Of course, they're both wrong. I mean, it's, both the Chachmei Yisrael and the Chachmei of the Umot HaOlam are all wrong. I mean, it's due to the motion of the earth.
Right. So I don't know what it means. I guess I don't know what it means when we say the celestial sphere doesn't move. Like, what does that mean, it doesn't move?
I think that the one view is that the Earth at the center of the entire universe, they envisioned in ancient times a series of concentric spheres circling the Earth. And the question is, did those spheres themselves rotate? Or did the stars themselves move within a stationary sphere? I mean, answer is there's no sphere at all. But right. I mean, it was perfectly reasonable to conclude that there was. All of this is perfectly reasonable. And weirdly, when they made mathematical calculations according to this model, some of them came out right. Even though
it's all relative. If everything's consistent, at least.
Yes. Even though it came, it's wrong. But the question is: does the non-existent sphere itself rotate, or do the stars rotate within?
I guess.
And to be honest, if you wanted to pick between the two, I mean, better to say that the stars rotate,
right? Than to say you are. Yeah. We're going to get a little even more interesting in a second. Keep your scientific hats on. So this also implies that the stars, so meaning that according to Rebbe, it implies that the stars don't move, and therefore maybe the rabbis are right. So maskevler of Ach Bar Yaakov Adilma Kibbutzina Derichya Inam Kitzinur Dedasha. Maybe if it's like the steel of a mill, which stays in place while the stones of the mill go around it. Or you could say that it's like the pivot of a door, where there's one part of the door that stays stationary and the other part swings around. So maybe there are other ways to understand it, besides what Rabbi Yehuda Anasi said, meaning that there is some part of the galaxy that does stay stationary, whereas the other parts move. Here's an interesting one, and this I remember when I learned, it took me a long time to figure out, but I was very interested in trying to figure it out. Chachmei Yisrael omrim bayom chamam halachas lamata min harakia. During the daytime, the sun travels beneath the firmament, and therefore it's visible, right? So imagine you have like a stage in the heavens, and the sun comes onto the stage in terms of the daytime, so you can see the sun. So what happens? Ubalila lamalar in Amenarkia. The sun doesn't go down when we see it set. We don't see it go down. It really goes down a little bit, but then it pops back up behind the stage. That's what it sounds like, at least. At night, it travels above the firmament, right? So it's basically like, imagine like a big frowny face over the world, right? So the sun goes down, and then it dips down, so we see sunset, and then it comes back around for the next day. Kind of a crazy thesis statement, but Chachmei Umos HaOlam Omrim Bayom Chama Halach Slamatim in Harakia. They say that the sun goes underneath the firmament again. Uvalal Lamatim in Akarka. It doesn't go. It's always underneath the firmament because we can see it, but it doesn't go back over it, above it, but it goes rather underneath the world, which itself is problematic because it doesn't go underneath the world, it just goes to other parts of the world. And it goes underneath the world. Amar Rebbe, this, yes, does sound like they thought the world was flat. Amar Rebbe, v'nirin divrei midvareinu. And Rebbe comes along and says, it seems like the non-Jews are correct. There's so many things to think about in this Gemara. But it seems like the non-Jews are correct. Why? Shebiyom, this is such a funny proof. Shebiyom ma'yanos tzonin ubalayla roschin. Because we find that during the daytime, the springs, the internal springs of the world, are cold. And at night, they're hot. Meaning what? That the springs are being heated up by the sun at nighttime. Somehow, the world is functioning like one big hot plate. And the sun, when it comes underneath it, is heating up all this water inside of the world. But then when it comes above it, it's too far away from the spring, so they get cold again. That's what it sounds like. I'm sure there's a lot of discussion and a lot of, post facto justification of how other ways you can understand this Gemara. But that's the literal understanding of it.
Rav Sadia Gaon and Emunot V'dayot and Rabbi Yehuda Halevi and Kuzari both say that the world is a sphere, the world is a globe.
And there are other parts of the Gemara. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that famously sounds like the Gemara, the Gemara thinks it's a globe. This one, however, sounds very clear that it's flat. So unclear if there's this machlokas tanayim about whether that they thought the world was round or flat. But either way, Tanya Rabbi Nasan Omer, in the times of the summer, so then the sun moves in the heightened part of the rakia, and therefore, because of the situation of the sun, the world is hot and the springs are cold. And in the times of the winter, it goes in the lower down parts of the rakia, the lower down parts of the firmament. I'm not exactly sure what this means, but I assume it means that the times of where it's not there, it's closer to the world, it's closer to the earth itself, and therefore it heats up the world underneath it. Again, not 100% sure which opinion it's going like. I assume it's referring to when the sun's out of view. How far from the world is it? Either way. Tanu Rabbanan ba'arba shvilin chama malech. There are four seasons. This one sounds very similar, though, to what we experienced. Nisan iyar v'sivan. The springtime malech b'harim k'didash lefasher es hashlagin. The springtime, the sun is close enough that it melts all the snow. Tamas av elul. It's even closer malech b'yishuv. It's going to the settlement k'didash lefasher es haperos in order to ripen the fruit. Tishrei marchesh v'kislev malech b'yamim. In the fall, it goes through the waters, k'eliyavish asanharos, in order to dry up the land. I don't know why that's important, but that's what it does. Teves shvat va'adar, which we're in now, the winter, ma'alech b'midbar, it goes somewhere else where we never see the sun. Shalul liyavish asazraim, so that the world doesn't dry out. Talking about Detroit, although we've gotten plenty of sun this winter, even with a lot of snow. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Meiskopas. Okay, back to Pesachim. Now we're done our commercial break. So Rabbi Eliezer says that you go from the actual wall of the Avodah, of the Azar itself, and that's the barrier of what's considered Derech Rechoka. It's not really 15 mil, but it's really literally outside the base of the Mishnah. Even if he could go and just walk two steps into the doorway, and you're in the Azar, and therefore you should bring the Pesach. So why would you be Pater based on that, according to Rabbi Eliezer? Fatanya, don't you also say Yehudi Ariel Shlomal, Anush Karis to Rabbi Eliezer. He thinks that if someone is not circumcised, he has to go get circumcised. If he doesn't, he's chayv karis for not bringing Karim Bezach. So Amar Rabbi Derech Lagotar, Vein Derech Lagotame. We said this yesterday, kind of an interesting concept that the institution, the Petor of Derech Lagotar, is a Yotz Min HaKlal. It's an exceptional thing that only applies to otherwise capable people. And this person is not circumcised, not capable, and therefore it's a separate calculation for him. So Rav Amar Tanai, Rav says the Machlok Tanai, Detani Rabbi Eliezer Amar Nemar Richuk Makom Pesach Nemar Richuk Maaser Mal Hanu Chutz LaAchilaso Afkan Chutz LaAchilaso. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's all about where you can eat it, and the Pesach can only be is going to be eaten in Yerushalayim. So according to this first opinion, it can be based on the eating of Maser is a certain distance away, and so to the eating of Pesach a certain distance away. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Mishum, Rabbi Eliezer, Chuslaso, Alasiaso. They quote Rabbi Eliezer to say, no, it's outside of where it's made, where it's done. The Karan Pesach can only be done in the Azar, so that itself is where you're considered Derech Rachok, if you're far away. Kaman az lahad amr Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef b'tzmeim halacha charov ha'omdim bazar. That when we do the calculations of who's tummy to who's tower, it's always based on who's standing in the azara. That's how they do the calculations. They don't look at all of Klal Yisrael, but they look at those who are standing in the azara. Kaman k'Rabbi Yosef bar Rabbi Yehuda shamr shim Rabbi Eliezer. We assume it's like Rabbi Eliezer, according to the second opinion of what Rabbi Eliezer said, that it's all based on the azara itself. So Amar Rabbi Yosef Levikach, therefore there is a dot over the hey Tani Rabbi Yosef Li Omar Derech Shomei Ani Mahalach Shnayim O Shlosha Yamim. I would have thought that the word Derech implies that you have to walk 2 or 3 days to get to Yerushalayim for Karan Pesach. Kshe Omar Bederech Lohaya Magid Shemei Iskopas Azar Lachutz Kari Derech, that he wasn't anywhere on the path, not just that there's a Derech, but that he wasn't anywhere on the path. So he understands that to mean from the wall of the Azar and then outward, that's considered a far distance. Okay, a fun, entertaining, but complicated and strange daf. But we thank Daniel and Shoshana for sponsoring in memory of Manny Middleman. Mirza Hashem, our learning should be le'ilu nishmaso. Everyone should have a good day.